That bell tells us it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So get your Bible and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and be turning, if you will, in your Bible to Acts chapter 13. We're going to begin our study in Acts chapter 13 in verse 3. I'll read Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3 in just a moment. We're studying John Mark, that companion of Paul and Barnabas and Peter, and that man that wrote the gospel we call the Gospel of Mark. And so we're looking at the lives of great men and women in the Bible. We've now come to this study. And so we'll be looking at Acts chapter 13 in just a moment. In the meantime, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. And now let's begin our study. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Now we're looking at a Sunday school lesson in that regard with that passage in this study of John Mark written by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of September 9th, 1923. And in commenting on that passage, Elam wrote, They did as directed by the Holy Spirit. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It is not stated here that these prophets and teachers acted for the church, but it is stated in Acts 14, 26 and 27, that Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, from which they had been committed to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled, and that they gathered the church together and rehearsed all things that God had done with them, and that he had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles. This seems to show that the church did act in sending them away. Fasting, praying, and laying on of hands was not an ordaining ceremony. Barnabas had been a preacher for about 16 years, and Paul had been a preacher for at least 10, so this was not to ordain them as preachers. The truth is that this ceremony, no longer called ordination in the English scriptures, there is nothing more than a method of solemnly commending a man to God for the ministration to that which he was set apart, says J.W. McGarvey. Was this prayer, fasting, laying on of hands, the manner of commending them to the grace of God? If not, how were they commended to this grace? Laying on of hands was a manner of bestowing a blessing on a person. The commending to the grace of God was the expression of goodwill and fellowship in the work in which they engage, and asking God's blessings on them and their work. This is an example of a church sending out missionaries. Every church should do the same. If a church cannot send out two missionaries, as did Antioch, let it send one. And if it cannot send one, let it cooperate with other churches in doing so. By all means, let this work be done. Now Mark accompanies Paul and Barnabas. We read in Acts chapter 13 in verse 4, So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John as their attendant. Now, let me get back to Elam's notes here. It says they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit directed these prophets and teachers to do this. They took a ship at Seleucia, the seaport of Antioch, 16 miles distant, and sailed to Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean Sea. They had entered upon a momentous undertaking. This was a practical course to take, because Barnabas, having been born and reared on this island, was acquainted with the places and the people, which was of great advantage. So Barnabas was first a missionary to his native land and his own people. Salamis was a town on the eastern end of the island of Cyprus, and it was near to the port of Antioch. There were many Jews there, hence these synagogues of the Jews. The gospel had been preached there before, according to Acts 11:19. And although sent to preach to the Gentiles, Barnabas and Paul first preached in these synagogues to the Jews. The Gentiles could be more easily reached through the Jews of their own country. Besides, this was God's order, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. In Acts chapter 13:46, Paul would say, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you." And it says that they had John as their attendant. Now there they proclaimed the word of God. I read in Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they fare." After tarrying some days, so that's at Antioch, on their return from the council in Jerusalem, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaimed the word of the Lord, to see how they fare." One thing Paul says here must be impressed most strongly, namely, wherever the apostles went, they proclaimed the word of the Lord. They did this in order to turn people, all people, from the most learned Athenians to the most densely ignorant, the devout and the generous Cornelius or the grossest and basest idolater, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, or to make Christians. When they visited churches which they had established, they still proclaimed the word of the Lord. Rather, taught the word of the Lord in order to build them up. Beginning with the great commission given by the Lord to his apostles, let it be noted that he says, "Go and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. And also, in Matthew 28:18-20, "Go ye therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then Luke says, in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, that they were to preach repentance and the remission of sins in Christ's name unto all nations. Further, let it be noted that the apostles preached and taught accurately that which Jesus commanded them to preach and teach. Beginning at Jerusalem as commanded, they preached the gospel, proclaiming the word of the Lord, went everywhere preaching the word, preached nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then people received the word of God and did so gladly. The word of God increased. The word of God grew and multiplied by the number of the disciples multiplying exceedingly. So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. The apostles and all preachers of the New Testament not only determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, But they preached not themselves, their own wisdom and exploits, experiences and self-conceits, doings of their own families, etc., but Christ Jesus they preached, as Lord, and themselves as bondservants for Christ's sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul declares that he and Apollos were only farm hands in God's tilled land. He planted the seed. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. Paul asked not who, but what then is Apollos, and what is Paul? With Paul, Apollos, Peter, as with all true and humble men of God today, it was not who is who. Paul left Timothy in Ephesus. He didn't leave him there to take charge of the church there, but to charge certain men not to teach anything different than the Word of God, and to avoid all untaught questions, to build up and honor the elders, to commit the truth to faithful men who would teach it to others, to treat old men as fathers, old women as mothers, and younger women as sisters and not as sweethearts, and to instruct and edify the church in general in everyday Christian conduct, in all relationships and business affairs of life. For the same purpose, Titus was left in Crete. Timothy and Titus were not modern pastors or pastors at all. Timothy was not the minister of the church at Ephesus, and Titus was not the minister and not the evangelist of the churches on the island of Crete. They were both evangelists or preachers of the gospel and had ministries to fulfill. But they were able to do this as servants according to the will of God, and not as church functionaries or dignitaries. They preached and taught the word of the Lord to these churches and to the world, and they were not to preach at the 11th hour a.m., but at the 8 o'clock p.m. on Sundays as the pastors and ministers or evangelists of the churches, and that too on some modern, sensational, historical, or literary theme. They sought neither place nor popularity, but the glory of God. Mark the great contrast between the preaching and teaching of the apostles and all preachers and teachers of the New Testament, and that of many preachers today who claim to be true to the Bible and yet to speak where it speaks and to be silent where it is silent. By many, far from jokes, antidotes, modern stories, and etc., are told than Bible stories and principles. Far more quotations are made from the literature and wisdom of men and of the world than from the word of the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and when preachers do not know and do not love the word of the Lord, they cannot preach it. Those who do not seek first, that is, above all things, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, cannot preach the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Those who do not glory in the cross of Christ only cannot preach Christ and Him crucified. Still another thing which Paul says must be impressed, namely, visit the churches and see how they fare. Preachers should now not only go to places where there are no Christians, as did the apostles and evangelists of the New Testament, but having started churches, they should visit them also and should teach them the word of the Lord until all are able to build up themselves in love. These two things of the New Testament order, preaching and teaching, are very much neglected, if not disregarded, at present. We read in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, that He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God.